Diva, Gus Falcha, Gajian Clark, come on, Luke Claskill, and Shocklin the Shaw. Let me, Tom Cormack. It's Wednesday night, it's 8:30, and that means that I'm here with you until 9 o'clock. Another interesting programme lined up for you. Coming up on tonight's programme, we hear from Oma St. Indis clubman and underage coaching guru Liam Grogan on the story behind the end of the 26-year famine in Oma, with the club winning the Tyrone Senior Football Championship for the first time since 1988. That's to come on the programme, but first of all, we're joined by Oris Club Chairman Danny Friel on the club's blanking new clubhouse and dressing rooms, which were officially opened last Sunday.
Well, Danny, you officially opened your new clubhouse and dressing rooms on Sunday last. Maybe you could tell us about what you have in your new facility.
Yes, Tom, we have a new clubhouse there. We have four dressing rooms. We have a meeting room, a kitchen. We have a treatment room. We have that's for first aid. We have referees. And we have disabled toilets, especially for disabled inside.
Yeah.
And very much before that, 1990, we came to Strade and we developed a dwelling house into two dressing rooms, which served the purpose up until now, which we were kind of tight for space. There's a dwelling house beside us now, and we got the first offer on that to buy it, which we purchased and developed into a care park, which we have a care park now of space there for 90.
So a lot of hard work, I'm sure, has gone in. And
a lot of hard work, yeah.
A lot of fundraising. Tell me, how did you raise the money for it?
Yeah, we had a draw there. When he came to me last year, and I was going to sell tickets that time, but we have a good hard-working committee and people that put their shoulders to the wheel now, and we raised a fair bit of funds on a draw we had. John Friel himself, he's the treasurer of the club, and John holds the purse strings very tight all down the years.
No better man.
And there was nothing gone to waste, so we had a few pounds left aside as well now, Tom.
Yeah. And tell me, what was the overall cost of the new build?
The cost there at the moment, I would say, we would be out of it about 350,000.
So, and did you get funding and support from outside agencies?
Yeah, we did. We got 100,000 from the lotto, which we're very, very thankful for, you know, and come in very, very handy.
But obviously you don't know yourselves now.
We don't now. And funny, on Sunday it was really a magnificent day there. We had Martin McVanney, Ulster Council President, down to open it, and the Bishop of Derry, and we had Sean Dunyan, the County Chairman. And the amount of children about the place, you know,
yeah,
was brilliant to see. And that's what it's all about,
yeah,
for the kids of the parish. And,
and
you know,
going well on the field as well, qualified for another junior final the night before on Saturday.
Yes, yeah, Saturday night, yeah, after the disappointment of Croke Park probably, and the week before that. And we had a semi-final against Conway on Saturday, and we just got over the line on Saturday night in Balboa. Semi-final on a ladies' B junior final on Saturday,
right,
against Red Hughes.
Great.
Now, and we have a lot of ladies in the club, and they're very active at the moment too, so
Brilliant. They're
giving a good hand and all, and
yeah,
fundraising and anything that's asked of, even opening the pitch there. If they were asked to come and clean out rooms or wash windows or do a bit of work, they were always put the shoulders to the wheel.
Yeah. Well, I hope the men didn't leave it all to the women.
No, we did not. No, indeed. No. Yeah. There's plenty of good workers in the club.
And tell me, what is next on the horizon in terms of development, or is that it for a while now?
No, we have. Hopefully we'll have a function room now. Will be the next thing we'll be going for.
Anyway, Danny, look, thanks for sharing that with us, and the best of luck with your new clubhouse and in the county final in a couple of weeks' time.
Thanks very much, Tom. Delighted, and thank you very much.
Danny Friel there, chairman of the Urus Club, and we wish them well with that new clubhouse. Well, on Sunday last, just before we go to our next piece, and I'm joined by Liam Grogan of Oma St. Indis, just to remind you, of course, as always, you can text us here on 086-77-00-555. And if you want to text us from the north of Ireland, you can text us on 00353-86-77-00-555. I'll give you that number again. It's 00353-77-86-77-00-555. There's an awful lot more numbers. Paul is laughing at me here, but anyway, Tyrone ended, or St. Enda's Oma ended 26-year-long Baron Harvest by winning the Tyrone Championship, a seventh for the club, I do believe it is, on Sunday when they defeated Carrickmore in the county final in Healy Park in Omagh. A late goal from Ronan O'Neill sealing the victory for the St Enda's men. And earlier this evening I spoke to their stalwart clubman, and I suppose a man that has worked tirelessly for the club in recent years at coaching underage teams, Liam Grogan.
First of all, Liam, delighted to have you, and a big congratulations, St Enda's Omagh, once again, after what, 26 years, Tyrone champions?
Oh, Tom, it's absolutely fantastic. 26 years, 26 years of going to the, I suppose, as men would say, going to the draw and getting very little, you know, on that. We've been there, county championship finals and whatever. I remember in 1990 myself going to a championship final, and at half time we're playing Killeen, and at half time we thought we were in a good place. On the second half, they bombarded us with a few goals, and I know that was my one day at it. But this is, you know, the 95, or it was 1998, 2005 again, we come up short. But this is unbelievable, Tom. You know, the whole town is just buzzing. The whole town has been buzzing this last few weeks. There's been bunting up up around John Street and George's Street and various areas and parks around the town and that. And the whole town has got behind us, you know. Mm-hmm. You see, even when I was leaving the boys out on Sunday to the match and that, you see clumps of young boys and young girls, you know, heading out to the match, and then the Omagh colours and whatever. And it's fantastic for the area, it's fantastic for the town, it's fantastic for the people of Omagh. You know, there's really, really good GAA people in Omagh. There always has been good GAA people in Omagh. And I suppose, you know, Tom, we have a great position in Omagh. You know, all right, it's not a recent position, but way in the past, Omagh won three in a row in the 60s and the one in the 50s, Thaddeus Herbert, six county titles. And you're talking about Jack Taggart and Paddy Corey, the Dalneys, the Turbots, all those people, all great people. And it's great for the likes of them, you know, now to be able to look. The likes of Thaddy Turbot now, you know, I'm sure he was really, really proud on Sunday evening, as we all were, to see these young men and this final step that they took on Sunday evening.
Tell me, what's different about this team? Because as you said, you were there yourself as a player, and you were there just, what, in 2005, 2006, and lost out and didn't make it through. What's different about this group of players?
Oh, boy. Funny enough, I was thinking that was something you want to ask me. What's different about them? This group of players, they came out about 15, 16 years ago. I suppose there was a number of men. It's not one or two men we're talking about here. There's a raft of men. And we would have been at committee meetings, and we'd have been attending youth committee meetings and that. And we a lot of our teams would have been in grade two at the time and that. And all of a sudden, we thought, no, we need a grade one football and that. We sat down and we thought, right, we need a plan of action here. And we got men into the right positions and that, managers, and then men on behind them. We always thought about five or six men to each team and that to help out. And then we started working with these young fellas. And all of a sudden, you know what, it was the first couple of years, cheap or so, we went out a couple of times and we were getting absolutely destroyed. I remember one time going out against Dunmore, an under 13 match, and they must have beat us by 40 points. And you know, but 6 months later, there was three or four of us saying, oh, we come home, we didn't know what to do with this. And over the winter, we worked our socks off, and they 6 months later, we beat the same Dunmore team in the under 14 championship final. And that seemed to kickstart, you know, after 10, 12 years, that was our first youth title in that time. And that seemed to kickstart. It gave the players probably a confidence in themselves, and they came a really, really good group of players. Like, you were thinking, like Conan Grogan, Barry Tierney, Ronan O'Neill, Connor Clark, those are four players out of the one squad, one underage team. That's four players out of under a county team. There's not many teams, I would say, in Ireland that have produced that. You know, and you want to see the players that also on that team, really, really good players. And those players came up, they started to win. That under 14 success seemed to kick-start. They started to win then a couple of titles on the 14, on the 16 minor. Then they started going to Ulster at on the 15, Oaks Fort, the Paul McGeer, the St. Paul's tournament, minor tournament. And all of a sudden, they started winning things in Ulster as well. And then they came into the under-21s, which we always, I suppose, everybody was warning everybody about this group of under-21s, and it's an awkward age and that. And all of a sudden, we won an under-21 title with a lot of the team, nearly 3-4 years underage for it. And went into an Ulster to play in the Craigan tournament. And all of a sudden, got to the final, completely a great Borden team, but came back 2 years later and won it. So that gave the young fellas great confidence, great mental strength in that. And also, I suppose, you know, you had two players who are absolute gem of players at the top there with Justin McMahon and Joe McMahon. You know, they've done everything with Tyrone, they've done everything with Ulster, and they've done everything with Ireland. And, you know, two better fellas you couldn't meet. And, you know, that also was a massive help. So that blend of those two blend of players, you know, the first year, a couple of years that these young fellas got into senior football, people started to doubt them, and that they were only, you know,
when
you look.
When you started out and you reorganised at underage level, can you recall the men that were in along with you at that time?
Oh, Jesus, you're talking about, I suppose, at the youth committee, and chairman of the youth committee at that stage would have been Seamus Hannigan, then followed by Liam Morris, and Damien Campbell, Dominic Murray, those type of men. You had Barty McKenna in there, Seamus Gallagher. You had Martin Brown. And, you know, the other thing as well is, and I know he's a bit of a legend around, would have been Paddy Devlin.
Yeah.
Paddy the referee.
Patsy as we would know him, yeah.
Yeah, Patsy, as you would know him. Patsy was a great character. You know, we loved to have him around. You know, he was a great man to the youth and that. And we loved to have him around the youth and that. And I suppose we would have encouraged him to be there. As the boys grew up in that, and 15, 16, 17, 18 years of age and that. And, you know, they can be, you know yourself, that group, they can be hard enough to handle at that. And I always thought, you know, they'll have a lot of respect for the next generation, not the generation above them, but the generation above that. I know I would have always great respect for my grandfathers and that. And Paddy coming into the dressing room at an age, you know, it was fantastic. The boys would have related to him with that. And you know, he'd have told them the stories and that and went around with them and that. So he was another one. There was Dominic Murray, there was Peter Clark, there was Kenny Clark, there was Shawnee Myler, Paul Logue, Mickey Flanagan. You know, and a lot of past players that were played, and a lot of players from the 1988 team who would have come in and did a lot of coaching and that, which was probably within home of maybe unique as well, to see such a, you know, a great band of players that had success and were then willing then to pass it on to the next generation.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not only those men that I spoke about, but we're talking about as well parents who sacrificed, who were at every, you know, were there, make sure that the children were at every training session and that, who were followed the children everywhere. You know, not just fathers, mothers and all. We encouraged them to go out as well, because I always felt, you know, there's nothing as good as a young fellow when he's sitting across the breakfast table and his mother's able to talk to him as well and that. And if she's encouraging him as well, you know, it's the whole house behind him, the father's behind him, the mother's behind him and everything. So it wasn't just... it was just a whole community. It was a whole club thing, and everybody got involved.
And something I'm sure not all that easy, maybe to organise in a big town compared, maybe like in a rural country area.
Oh, Hugh Geller, just hit the nail on the head here, Tom. Hugh Geller said this on Sunday. You know, it's different than Carrickmore. It's different than Erica, you know. And that's their one thing, and there's the hub of community and that, and you know, there's no talking people around into it at all, you know, and that. I suppose at the stage, people have thought Oma is a soccer club and that. There's so many distractions around a big town and that, and probably, you know, Tom, whether people like it or not, we had our own agenda at the stage, you know. I suppose, you know, the fact you were living in a big town and so many different things and offering a big town, and maybe young fellas would go down the wrong way and that, and or take the wrong path and that. And that's what we were, you know, trying to encourage as well. We, you know, we're trying to keep people on the right, young fellas on the right track and that, and give them an outlet and that. You know, we try to encourage them to be around the club as much as possible. You know, there even big matches and that, you know, would have been, you know, you've been getting groups of young fellas. It's that team on Sunday, the amount of those fellas that under 14, under 16, would have sold programmes on championship days, county championship, county national league matches, and club championship matches and that. I told them, just, you know, told them to make them a wish and that, and that, trying to get them involved. And I suppose there's a story that's kind of been told. I've told it a few times and that, you know, I always thought, I always took an awful lot of inspiration from what Mickey Hart did with the Tone Senior team and that. And, I remember what the story of Mickey with Michaela to teach the Tone team the national anthem. And there's always something I loved it. And that's what we thought, we'll go about this. And one of the characters in the club, he says, you know, I'll teach them it. And I said, no, not a chance. They're 18 years old. They're not going to listen to us. Then there's a lady, Jill, that can help. And she was sitting there at half time. She was one Orange Score medals and all for singing. And I asked her, would she come in? She came into the dressing room to 30, 40 of us. And over about a 4 or 5 night period, she helped to teach us the national anthem. And that bonded players together. That bonded, and I'm sure you take a look at the TV screens, you know, the DVD of Sunday's match, and you see all the players singing the national anthem.
Yeah. Tato Gaisa, Glesion Clark, come and Luke Haskell, and Shockton, the show, let me, Tom Comeck, and my special guest tonight is Liam Crogan, Liam Grogan of St. Indis, St. Oma, of course, the new Tyrone County champions, and a very proud Oma man he is tonight. Tell me, Liam, what does this win do for the club?
This run for the club gives the club, gives, I suppose, so all the years of work, I suppose, you know, now people were telling us this was going to happen, this had to happen and whatever, and now we believe, and it's great, put great belief in us. You know, I was out last night at under 13s in, and there was over 30 young fellas out there at under 13s in, playing in a semi-final of the knockout stages now on Saturday and that. And it's, you know, you just turn around to the young fellas and saying, look, there's the role models now within the club and that. That's the role models from around the town. You don't have to look outside the club high for role models. These are the role models now. These are the young men. This is what can be done. And, you know, for all the work that has been done, you know, this is what can be achieved. And it takes hard work. I suppose everybody, at times you look at the teams running the irons and you see what's happening and you don't realise all the training and all the days of hard work that has went on. And now when you see this locally and what has happened and the success that has happened, I know Ronan O'Neill there, he runs in around the Oma CBS helping out, and you know, he's got a great, very, very good close link with all the local young fellas and that. And he's a great role model to the young fellas. So Barry Tierney, Barry was on him to Sacred Heart secondary school also on that, and it's great to have that. You know, you have now these people that you can look up to, and that's something now that I suppose you can, for want of a better phrase, Tom, you can stick your chest out a wee bit, yeah, a lot more. And you know, I always remember saying to my own two boys, the times Rome won the All-Ireland, when I was in Belfast in the university and that, you know, you were talking about Gaelic football and county football, and you thought you were great until you talked to the down ones, and then all of a sudden you're a small enough man. And then when Tyrone started winning all Irelands, you could start talking about a football then as well, with the best of them. Mm-hmm. So it leaves it now, it leaves people a lot more confident in themselves. You know, it's definitely now everybody within the club is getting behind, within the town is getting behind, and it's getting, you know, you'll see the benefits over the next couple of years and that. And you know, as we said earlier, it's more difficult within a big town area and that. Mm. And it's now that we can kick on from this now.
Yeah, and tell me, and you mentioned the town factor, and obviously there was a tag hanging over St. Enda teams for quite some time. This towny team, this soft centre, maybe not having the just that little of extra bottle required. You put that myth to bed too.
Look, Tom, you know, this has been mentioned, and I've seen it in print, and I've heard it on interviews and whatever at Tiny. And you know, every time I hear the word town or state in front, and I know young fellows are listening to this and they're smiling at it too, we love hearing it, you know, because it was used at with us over the years and that. And there was one stage, you know, we didn't try, it was trying to make us clean and fair or whatever, and if they were soft-scented and whatever. And then all of a sudden, about nearly 10 years ago, we thought up of our own name in the county. Now, I don't want to broadcast it over Highland Radio or we'll close the station down. But, you know, and every time we heard Towny, that's what we think of. And we love, you know, to be totally honest, we grew to love the term Towny. And to say that we're soft, that's only a myth. Like, that always was a myth from that. Like, I don't care what anybody says. You go out against the Gallaghers, Stephen Mullen, Kieran McLaughlin, the McMahons, and you know, Jason McAnulla, Ronald O'Neill's, all those players, by God, I tell you what, you'll know you're in a battle hype. And those boys battled. That's what they are used to the whole way up from underage. They had to battle. You know, on Sunday, I know on Saturday night, and this is not trying to be cocky or whatever, but I said to a number of men on Saturday night, if we're within a point or two of Carrickmore within the last couple of months, you know, I'm going to cut the money on us, because that's what these young fellas. Over the years, there's times when I thought we were out of it for a beat, that we couldn't come back. And the last kick of the game, they put the ball in the back of the net or put the ball over the bar. And there's, you know, I think, you know, people talked about New Labour way back a few years ago and talked about spin doctors. There's a lot of spin doctors out around there over the years, and they created these myths. And I suppose, you know, Tom, we were the worst in the world too, because we left these myths.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden we started to think for ourselves, and we started just saying, look, we're as good as anybody. We're not going to believe in these myths. We're not going to listen to anybody else. We're going to believe in ourselves and that. And like, when you think about Jack Taggart and Paddy Corey and the Donnies, Harry Scully and Kevin Murphy from you know, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, my God, maybe they were hard men. And that's the division that we are now living up to.
There was no soft center in those guys.
There was no soft centre, gee, for so there was no soft centre. And I'm not talking, you know, the older generation would tell you that, in the Turvis and that, and I'm not just talking within Omagh or within Tyrone, but within Ulster and within Ireland, those men were feared and respected and that. And there was no soft centre. So, you know, there's no... That's just a must. That's,
And we're just running a little bit out of time. But anyway, two sons on the team, Conall and Aaron, obviously a proud man and a proud family on Sunday. What was
two boys, 22 and 24, and the Aaron man had been told when he was 19 years of age, he wouldn't walk, and he was 30, and we ended up having no cartilage in his knee. And we ended up having to take him to London for 18 months. He hardly went out of the house. The only place he went to was the gym and that. And he just worked his socks off to get where he is, showed great determination. Conan, I suppose he's been a bit luckier in that, and he's a great success with Conan and that. But you know, every father wants their son to do better than they ever did.
Yeah.
And like Sunday, I never won a championship match or championship title in that. And the two of them now have championship titles in that. And it's fantastic, even from the wife. And that, you know, she's a hell of a lot of work around the club as well. We're totally immersed. You know, the backgrounds, my own family and my wife's family are totally immersed in the GA and that. And it's just a fantastic day. And I suppose the other part of it was as well. Personally, as a teacher within the parish, to see so many young fellas that I've taught, you know, looking back at Joe and Justin, and Conor Hannigan and Brian Clark and Paul Tierney, Leanne Samir and Paddy Dock and all. Like, I remember Justin, Joe at what was he? Maybe 8 years of age at St Connor's, and we gave him his first match and that's 22, 23 years ago on that. So, you know, to see all that, to see all those players from, you've seen them around the chapel, you've seen them around the club and that, and now they're only children and that, and now to see them in fully grown men and the one championship medals, God, it's immensely proud, immensely proud.
Liam, we could talk all night about it, and it's great to talk to you, but finally, before we let you go, in terms of Ulster, you know, Tyrone clubs, but in recent years haven't a great record in Ulster. I think Ariel Kieran was probably the last team to make a shape and win Ulster. In actual fact, can this St Enda's team change that?
Well, look, to be totally honest, Ariel is the only team that have won Ulster titles in that. With Peter Canavan and Pascal Canavan, that crew of players and that have won off the titles. And I suppose, Tom, it depends now on the players and the Oma club. Well, if they're content with a county title, or do they want to push on and push this as far as they can? You know, it's not every day, it's not every year you're going to get there. And probably the problem with Tyrone clubs is, probably Tyrone is the most competitive county within Ulster, and you know there's 5, 6, 7 teams could come out at any stage, could won, and you know they're only getting the one run on it, you know, and all of a sudden when you do get their run on it, it's all new to you. I suppose you have to celebrate whether you like it or not. Over the last few years, Tyrone clubs have been very unfortunate in that they've only had maybe 6, 7 days to prepare. We have, it looks like, probably in November now, and it looks as if that's going to be the Armagh champions, and I suppose that's crossing the Glen. That you'll be facing. The only thing I would say, Tom, is this group of players, young players, have played at the Paul McGuire, they played in Oaksport, they played in St Paul's tournament in Ulster, they played in the Craigan tournament in Ulster and under 21s. They have an awful lot of experience at under 21 or at Ulster level in that. And we have a lot of players who played at county level, played Ulster teams and that. And we will be giving it the best shot that we can. Best shot we can.
Yeah, I mean, you can't ask for any more. Tell me, how are the celebrations going? I know Marty Morrissey famously said some years ago when Clare won, I think it was a Munster title or football title for the first time in quite a long time, he said, there won't be a cow milked in Clare tonight. I'm not sure what the equivalent is in a town like Omagh, but I'm sure it didn't happen on Sunday night or Monday anyway.
Well, to be totally honest, there hasn't been a cow milked in Nowhere either. I think that has been thrown at us as well. I've heard that over the weekend, I suppose, coming from Marty as well and that. But it's just, I suppose a lot of us are back at work and whatever, and you're just back. I'm in a fantastic position. I'm a school teacher and that. Back into school the following day. I took the cup into school the following day and matured the cup. But then got it at 7 o'clock and walked across the school and brought into the school and mature all the classes, seen it and that, because I thought it was extremely important that the children, and say we 400 or 500 children, and it's extremely important that they see that and they're inspired by that. Around the town, it's just people talking about the journey. The older generation, us, I'm including myself in that older generation, we're talking about the journey of these young fellows. And, all of a sudden, we talked about it for the last 26 years and all of a sudden, it's there, and it's all of a sudden you're thinking, "Holy God, where'd this come out of?" And as you're thinking, "Well, how'd this happen?" And that, and of course, people, you have to celebrate. You have to celebrate when you have a success like this, and when it only comes around maybe once in a lifetime. Like 26 years ago, it happened. It's actually 51 years before that, or 51 years since the title in 63, and that. So it only happens. So you have to celebrate. And but it has definitely, people want to talk about it. I know on Saturday or on Monday when I was coming back home again, I was coming up through the parks and I was carrying the cup. I only lived 10 minutes in the school and it took me an hour and a half to come home because more people wanted to come out. They were coming out of houses, they wanted to see the cup, they wanted to get photographs of the cup. And I put a smile on people's faces and it makes people feel confident. And, we can talk about this now and it's just a great place to be, Tom. And we'll glory in it for the next while or so, and then it's back down to business again.
Liam, look, congratulations again, and thank you for joining us tonight.